We got Artie from Damn Your Eyes on the line. Artie, man, how you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. Man, diving into you, into your past and everything in the last couple of days, getting ready for the interview, man, there's a lot of you had a lot of good stuff going on. But first, we'll start with the new album coming out August 2nd called Kill the Outside. Will be released on CD and vinyl, it says. So so tell us a little bit about the new album.
Kill the Outside is for us, it's just a heavy record. When we tried to write a record, you know, when we tried to write this record, we just wanted to have a diverse, heavy record, you know. Every song is completely different than the other, you know.
Right.
So that's pretty much what we wanted to do. We wanted to write a record where every song didn't sound the same, and it had a good flow to it, you know.
Yeah, it's in checking out the album, I mean, like you said, it definitely goes from style to style. You know, some slower type of negative type stuff on there. I mean, you definitely kind of bring out the best in all eras of the New York scene.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I never looked at it that way, but yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, you know, our influences are drawn from so many different things. Sabbath. You know, I listened to Typo growing up, Alice in Chains, Pantera. You know, I mean, those are just the genre and the style that we like, that we grew up listening to, and that's pretty much how the record came about, just being ourselves and drawing from our influences.
A lot of times in photos, looks like you're playing Dimebag Dean, or, you know, just a Dimebag style guitar, and some other references to Dimebag on some posts and stuff like that. So what does Dimebag mean to you?
Well, you know, I never set out to play his guitar. He's definitely my favorite guitar player of all time. I was definitely heavily influenced by him. When I came back into music, I left for a while and kind of did my own thing with family and being crazy and wild. And, you know, both of those things, not in that order, really. But a friend of mine had a Washburn Snow Camel Dimes 333 guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started really wanting to play again, I was looking at equipment, and I just happened to mention, you know, I can't pull a trigger on a guitar. I don't really. I'm not feeling some of these things. He's like, why don't you come over and play that guitar that I have? So I went over there and he offered to me at a really good price. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to pick this up for now and play around with it and stuff. And ever since then, that's all I want to play. it sits right when I'm standing. You know, I could fit my leg in between the back V of it, you know, and it kind of just, everything's right. So I started playing that guitar and that Washburn, and then eventually I bought the Dean. I think it's the Favion Driven series, and then another one I have. They're just beautiful guitars, and they feel right, they sound right, they're mahogany, so they have a nice sustain to them. So that's it, man. I was hooked, and it was weird because I was like, oh man, you know, I don't want to be playing Dimes guitar. I don't know if that's right,
right?
You know. And I was like, you know what, fuck it, I don't care. You know, I like it, this is what I'm going to do, and that was it, you know, I was sold.
Yeah, it's one of those things where his guitar is so iconic that it's hard for other people to pick them up and play them and make them their own, you know, and I'm assuming it is also maybe a conversation piece for fans, too, when they see you playing them.
Yeah, well, they're nice looking, you know, and you think about them every time, you know. Everybody plays Les Pauls,
mm-hmm.
but nobody's, you know, it's okay. No one's like, oh, you know, that's what Slash played, or that's what Jimmy Page played, you know? They don't compare it like, they do it with a guitar like this, because it's so different, you know? It's so different looking, and it's, you know, you think that guitar, you think Dime, so excuse me.
So one thing going through some stuff, one thing I did notice that you played with Harley Flanagan, who's by far one of my, in my playing days in the 90s and the early 2000s, I ended up playing a show opening for Sam Cara, which was him and Rocky George from Suicidal and a couple of other people. And he might have been the craziest person I've ever been around. Like one person I saw him, if I saw him coming, I went the other way that day. So what was it like playing with Harley and getting to do some stuff with him?
Well, did you say that was the 90s?
Yeah, it was about 97, 98. It was Hatebreed, Earth Crisis, Samsara.
Okay, all right. Well, I played with Harley in, 2017, so we both, you met a different guy, I'm sure.
Right.
Let me tell you something. As far as performing and being 100% into your music, and Harley was insane. In a good way,
right.
I've never seen a guy put so much into a show in Hollywood. He would get on stage and he was a different person when he hit the stage. I learned a lot from him in so many different things in life. I was so lucky to go out with those guys. Him, Gabby Abularrock, who played on the Alpha Omega album, and Gary Sullivan, who, and he played with everybody. He was B-52's drummer for a while.
Oh, wow.
Just seasoned guys, so kind, just real down-to-earth guys. And, Harley totally told me a lot of stuff. He never held back. When he wanted to say something, he said it, I was very fortunate to go out with those guys and tour with them for almost 2 years, not straight, but we went out a lot, but for 2 years I got to be in the studio with them, rehearsals and hit the road. I got thrown into the fire or shot out of a cannon with those guys. I played my first show in Berlin, Germany with them. So the first time I've been out on tour and was in Europe, which was amazing. And Harley asked me to play it for him, and I said, sure. I thought I was going to fill in or something. I didn't know that it was going to be like a permanent gig for me, but it was amazing. And you know what? All the stories about him and all that stuff in the past, he's a different guy now. Totally. So.
Yeah, I would assume he's much tamer. I mean, we were all young and dumb back in the day, and now we're all much older and wiser, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm older, I'm not too sure about the wiser, but I'm definitely older.
Well, tell me about playing with the Misfits at the arena there in New Jersey.
That was an incredible experience. You think about a show that big, playing, with the original Misfits and Suicidal, and you'd think you'd be nervous, I'm more nervous playing in front of 40 people than I was that night. Everybody said that crowds get bigger, it gets easier. I didn't believe him, it was a really good experience. It's amazing how those shows are run, how precise everything is. Everything's on time, everything's right. It was really cool. I got to meet Mike Muir, who I love. I love Suicidal very much. And, Dave Lombardo was there. And that kid that played for Suicidal the night, this kid, Brendan, I think his name is. He plays for Marilyn Manson now.
Okay, yeah, I saw that.
He's my favorite drummer of all time, and I just watched that kid go. He has all these videos on YouTube and whatnot. He has so much energy behind his playing. The whole time Suicidal played, I was watching him do his thing, It was really exciting, so.
That's high praise.
That's all I really could say about that night. It was awesome.
Yeah, high praise with Dave Lombardo being on the same bill.
Yeah, well, I've met Dave a bunch of times. He's always been just a down-to-earth regular person. He's never acted like he was this, huge drummer, this hugely famous drummer. He's always acted very, very nice, like just a guy you'd meet, hanging out, he'll tell you anything you want to know. I was asking about music, told me about his whole drumming past one night. I got to spend some time with him. He was in a band, Phlegm, that he had, and he was out here on the island, Long Island in New York, and I went to go see him, and we just hung out for, an hour, just talking. Really nice guy.
Yeah, he came on the show a couple of years ago, just as nonchalant and nice as could be, and You know, it's you know, guys like that. You know, obviously his talents alone would make him a superstar. But you know, some of those guys like that are just so down to earth, and you know, they make it for a reason.
Yeah, well, you'd never know it talking to him. I don't know what it's like playing with him, but you'd never know it talking to him. You know,
absolutely.
Very mild mannered guy.
Were you a Misfits guy growing up?
No, you know what's funny? I wasn't a big hardcore or punk fan. I liked some of the Misfits stuff, but I was never, you know, a huge fan of that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was more of a metal guy. And that's eventually why, I stopped playing with Harleys, because I wanted to do something that was more, you know, in my blood than hardcore.
Yeah, that was the thing with the Damn Your Eyes stuff. Like, when I was kind of going more into your past, I was like, wow, that's a whole... I would have never in a million years guessed that you played with Harley at one point and then have now moved on to this Damn Your Eyes project.
Well, you know, Harley stuff is very, especially from his second album, it's very thrash. There's a lot of, the picking style in those songs is very difficult. You wouldn't think about it. Unless you really give it a good listen and then you try to play the songs. It's very rhythmic and a lot of down picking, you know. So it's not too much different. The drum styles, I think, is what changed a lot of the rhythms and the bass style from one genre to the next. You know, Damn Your Eyes is in the thrash band, so I'm not playing thrash. But you know, I needed to do something that felt right to me and played to my strengths. You know, I didn't want to be. You know, I wanted to be more. How would I say it?
True
to myself, I guess.
True to yourself.
Way to say it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. True to myself, right? I want to be more true to who I was playing wise. I enjoyed it all the time with them. I couldn't do both and have a family and do, you know, I have a full time job as well. So, you know, I had to make a decision on what I was going to do, and that's it.
Now, are you the carpenter in the band?
I am.
And,
yeah, I'm a,
you know, the one thing I always hear about New York and things like that, I mean, are you a union?
I am a union carpenter, yes.
Yeah, so how does that work? Because I know that, you know, you always hear about, you know, I can't move a chair without a union guy doing it and all this other stuff. I mean, is it that kind of hardcore that, you know, by the book when it comes to everything?
Well, the union's lost a lot of its power, you know, in the city. So, you know, they're always fighting with the non-union companies now, and you know, used to control a lot of that market share, and we don't anymore.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, and it's not what you think. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, union, that's good. You know, we work hard, like hard. It's not like when you're driving down the road and you see three guys working on the road, but only one guy's working.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's not how the carpenters work, you know. We earn every cent that we get, because you know, you got to produce with these companies. You know, it's a very high stakes market. You know, here.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I was actually talking with a friend earlier today about back in the day. I worked on a crew that, you know, when a band came through, helped build the stages, kind of thing. And I always enjoyed those type of jobs because you see the finished product. You know, with numbers and money or anything like that, it's just a constant flow of dollars and signs and numbers and everything else. But with carpentry and building, and you know, you see the finished product, so I think almost a little bit more fulfilling than like a desk job would be.
Oh, absolutely. You know, seeing what you've made, and especially when before I went into the union, I built homes. And you're there from start to finish.
Yeah.
You know, in the union, you know, you could be on a job for 2 years and it's still not even close to being finished. And then, you know, you're on another job. So you don't exactly see the finished product all the time. But when you get to, or you come back to it later on to that job and you see it all finished up, it's pretty cool. It definitely is.
Are your kids old enough to where you can drive around and be like, you know, dad built that, and dad helped build that, and dad helped build that? You know, are you there yet?
Well, I tell them all that stuff. It fell. Well, we're doing. It's going to be the tallest building in Manhattan right now.
There we go.
So, the building I'm on right now, it's Central Park Tower, and the actual structure is taller than Freedom Tower, Tower One, that they built. But the spire will be shorter. So, you know, Freedom Tower will still get top billing.
Right.
But you know, you can't miss it when you see the skyline from anywhere. You know which building I did. So I was like, "It's that big one over there. That's me." You know? Of course, it's not just me. I tell them, but about 1,000 other guys working on it. But
very good, man. Yeah, it was. We were walking across a walking bridge the other day, I was just, you know, this bridge was built in the 1800s when there was like no safety nets and, you know, guys were just up there, you know, walking on beams. You know, there's a guy in the boat at the bottom of the river, you know, waiting for someone to fall. I mean, you know, the one good thing I guess a union has done over the years is really brought on like probably safety, you know, safety issues and things like that. But yeah, man, you guys, steel guys, all that stuff. Blow my mind when you guys are up way up high, and it just blows my mind to see somebody up there doing that type of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. They push safety. They got a lot of the, you know, all those regulations put in place on what we have to do. You know, it's a pain in the butt, to be honest with you, but we have a lot less accidents. And, you know, I've been on jobs where guys have gotten killed, you know, and it's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot less of it because of the union. A lot less of that going on because they make sure that, you know, all these procedures are put in place. You know, if you're on my job and you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing and not wearing the proper safety stuff, you're off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go home, you know. So, you know, they make sure of it. You know, everybody needs to come home safe to their families. And, they have to do something to try to, you know, help us out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get back to Damn Your Eyes a little bit before we wrap this up. You know, the album's coming out on the 2nd. Looks like you're playing with Crowbar on the 27th. You know, what else do you guys have coming down the pipeline?
Well, we're working on some stuff right now. We got a couple of bands that we kind of found around the area that are really good, and we're trying to set up some shows with those guys as well. But right now, we're kind of just waiting to see how the album is taken, and if people like it, and hopefully get the right booking contact and get out there and start playing shows outside of New York. And we'd love to take this on the road, man. We're trying really hard, and you know, right now we're relatively unknown, you know, and so once we find out and people start reacting to the album instead of just the song and getting into it, I think the game is going to change for us a little bit.
That's awesome. And like I said earlier, it comes out on CD and vinyl, so that's going to be cool to have your album on vinyl. I know that would be cool for me, so I'm assuming awesome for you.
Yeah, man. I remember going out and buying records all the time, so to have something that I was a part of and I'm proud of on vinyl is going to be really cool. I'll have to have frame one and put it on my wall.
Yeah, that's actually, I just bought a frame the other day for a CD I was on 20 years ago. So, you know, it's always got to be proud of what you do and all that good stuff. And any last words, I guess, for people listening that you want to get out there about Damn Your Eyes?
It's just, you know, some working class guys that put this together. You know, you can go on Facebook and check us out. Go to Damn Your Eyes. We're also on Instagram. And we had some issues, technical issues, so we just had to put our Instagram page back up and our YouTube page back up. But, you know, we're on Facebook. Anything we're doing, we announce. And, you know, you can watch what's going on through there and get to know us a little bit better.
Very good, man. Well, Artie, man, thanks for taking the time and good luck with everything. And hopefully we'll see you out on the road soon.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.